Don't you wish your khaki shorts were legitimately comfortable instead of stiff cotton? Try Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs stretch khaki shorts look like khaki shorts, but feel like gym shorts. They have it all. Anti-stink, sweat-wicking fabric, a super comfortable built-in liner, and zipper pockets to keep everything secure. It's time to swap your old-school khakis for Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/MLB and enter promo code BASEBALL for a free baseball hat with your order. That's birddogs.com/MLB, promo code BASEBALL for a free hat. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you.
Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Funny that we hear this particular open to the show because I did actually just make my first beach date this week. It's that time of the year again. I got a beach date on July 1st. I've got some hiking between now and then, but a beach date on July 1st that I'm really looking forward to, and actually a kayaking date on the far east end of Long Island the week after that. So my Saturdays are all pretty much spoken for through the summertime. If it's not the beach, then it's something to do with the water or hiking. Although I don't love hiking in the middle of the summer because it can be sweltering. And if you're out in the woods, at least in the Northeast, so I'm not sure about the hiking everywhere else, but we have a lot of ticks and mosquitoes in the Northeast. So you dare not go hiking in thick brush or thick foliage without wearing long pants and long shirt or long sleeves because you are asking for ticks. And that's not what I'm into. Nor do I allow Penny to go out in a bunch of foliage and underbrush when it's this time of the year because I don't want to deal with ticks. I once had to pull one off her. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever done in my entire life. I screamed. Actually, it might have been worse than shoveling the dead squirrels out of my shed. I'm telling you, it was pretty gross. Anyway, that's all part of summer. It's a reason I love winter because all the bugs go away in the Northeast anyway. Hope you enjoyed your Flag Day. Actually shared one of my favorite all-time photos. So if you have not seen it, please check out my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Here, I'll retweet it because June 14th is Flag Day. And I didn't see a whole lot of it. I know it was trending on Twitter for a bit. I didn't see a lot of people posting, a few, but I love, love, love this photo that I took. And I did take it, and it was not doctored in any way. This was a photo from the back of a ferry boat out on the Hudson River as I was moving away from Lower Manhattan heading back to New Jersey. It was the most gorgeous blue sky that you could ask for. And the Freedom Tower is made of blue glass. And I had just been up in the Freedom Tower with my niece and her boyfriend. And we are taking the ferry back to New Jersey. And I look up and the Freedom Tower is striking against the bright blue Lower Manhattan sky, and the back of our ferry boat had a flag on it. And it was a few pictures that I took. When I got back to my car or back to my home later on, I looked at the photos and the flag was perfect. It was waving in the wind, but it was open so that you could see it. And this is the photo my mom tells me I should enter into a photography contest because she loves it so much. Anyway, I trot it out July 4th every year, but thought it was perfect for Flag Day. So I just retweeted it on my account, A-Law Radio, if you'd like to see it. It's something that I'm pretty proud of. So I hope that you enjoyed your Flag Day. It's actually a day in which I really feel patriotic. And then I also think of our men and women who are serving in the military because the flag is their symbol. It's what binds them. It's the reason that they do what they do. I hear that from a lot of our military. So thinking about them as well on Wednesday. Now, we are just a couple days away from summer, so we're asking you to give us your summer vacation destination. We promise not to steal it. I promise not to steal it. I can't speak for anybody else. But that's also on Twitter or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We have been playing with the yodeling pickle on this edition of the show. If you would like to shut me up and not ever, ever, ever hear the yodeling pickle again, then maybe you call. Actually, we have a ton of football to do the rest of the way. QB news is coming up in not even 15 minutes. Jonathan Taylor, though, remember his 1,800-yard season going back to 2021? Well, he's the latest of the running backs to speak out about devaluing the position in the NFL.
Taylor, the back to the left side. Ball to your hash. They give it to Taylor, and he scrapes off a block, and he's in there. Touchdown, Jonathan Taylor. Touchdown, INDY for JT. He's got a rushing touchdown in three consecutive games, and the Colts have their first touchdown of the night. It's 16-9.
It's Matt Taylor describing a Jonathan Taylor touchdown. And yeah, an 1,800-yard season in 21. That was a franchise record. But he was limited last season because of an ankle injury that really never healed. Under 900 yards, only four touchdowns. But if you think about what he's done in three seasons with the Colts, he's approaching 4,000 yards and 33 rushing touchdowns. So a big reason why the Colts were a massive disappointment last year. It wasn't just the revolving door of quarterbacks that continues. It wasn't Frank Reich, to be sure. It was the offensive line and also the ankle injury for Jonathan Taylor. To me, once those two pieces fell apart and weren't reliable, well, then everything else with the offense came unraveled. Now, think about Dalvin Cook. He got released by the Vikings. They didn't want to pay his $12 million salary, didn't want to take the $14 million cap hit, so they release him. He speaks out about it and is pretty passionate as he was talking to the Rich Eisen show with Tom Pelissero about how the position is being devalued. He's 28. Then we heard from Saquon Barkley, who is trying to set the record straight. He just wants to get a deal done with the New York Giants. Najee Harris piling on. Hey, our position, it's so critical to success in the NFL. Dalvin said the same thing. If you can run the ball, you can win. And that was true last year. Well, now Jonathan Taylor, entering the final year of his rookie deal. He's only 24 years old. If you're going to pay anybody, you're going to pay him as long as he's healthy. He's 4 years younger than Dalvin Cook. And I'm not saying Dalvin's done. He's had four consecutive seasons of at least 1,100 yards. But if you're looking for a guy who can withstand the pounding, as long as Taylor's healthy, and that's really the caveat for any NFL player, he also recognizes that running backs are not being treated equally when it comes to skill positions.
It's sad. It sucks because A lot of positions do a lot for their team. But specifically speaking for the running back position, I can just speak firsthand. We do a lot, and you just want to be treated fairly, and not even treated fairly. You just want to be, you know, appreciated for what you bring to the team. Just seeing guys fight, you just hope that things work out for them. I mean, you see why guys they request trades. They want, you know, they just want to feel valued by not only their coaches, their teammates, but the organization as well. And I think it's something you got to continue to do.
As you can imagine, all of these guys are watching what else is happening. This was the case with the wide receiver position last year, right? Where, shoot, don't tell me, Christian Kirk was the first one to get the big deal, and then domino after domino after domino dropped. It was a great offseason to be a wide receiver. But I don't know that it will ever happen with running backs. And the challenge is this. How can you convince a team that you are worth enough money to pay, what, $10, $12 million a year? And that money will guarantee such a boost at the position, such a boost to your run game and your ground attack, that it's worth paying you all the money over what, say, a rookie with fresh legs out of the draft could do or could produce. You know what it reminds me of? The baseball stat, wins above replacement, WAR, right? It's a little acronym, but what it means is, let me see if I can do this succinctly, the player that you're let's say the top guys in the award category. A lot of times it's Mike Trout. Okay. I'll just use one. Mike Trout is worth what? 5.5 wins over what a replacement player would mean for his team. Okay. So they go into all these crazy stats and formulas and math and woo. Mike Trout is worth 5.5 wins above his replacement, meaning the Angels would have 5.5 more wins with Mike Trout in the lineup versus the average replacement. And that's kind of the idea, is teams are believing that getting a cheaper running back out of the draft, and a lot of times they don't get drafted in the first round, but even if they do, then you have the option of picking up the fifth year. Many of them are banking that a younger, fresher running back out of the draft who will be on a rookie deal and be under control for at least 4 years is a better use of their money under the salary cap than paying a running back. So they don't actually believe that a lot of the running backs are worth any wins above their replacement. Does that make sense, Jay? Did I describe that perfectly? Or not perfectly, but enough that you get it. So they're believing that running backs are not worth wins over their replacement, which typically come from the draft and are younger and fresher with fewer miles on their legs. And so that's kind of the battle that NFL running backs fight. Teams, if they're going to scrimp and save, do it at the running back position because they believe they can plug and play. They believe they can plug in another running back, get him up to speed quickly. Now, again, there's some talented running backs out there who aren't just good for carrying the ball, picking up yards, but are willing to take the hits. In fact, will put their heads down and barrel through. They've got great balance. They've got good footwork. They've got natural instincts. They work well with the offensive line. Maybe they're a great pass catcher out of the backfield and they can block. So if you've got the trifecta, if you've got a guy who can help you in a variety of ways, well, it's not so easy to replace. Sometimes you see a top running back walk and the team has to replace him with more than one guy. So it really is this question that every NFL team faces. And a lot of times it's the running backs who come up on the short end of the stick.
You definitely have to pay attention just so you know, okay, what type of space are you entering into? Mm-hmm. And you just hope, you know, from the track record here, you hope that the things are being evaluated the right way. You know, it's not just all about the wins. You want to make sure at the end of the day you guys are winning games, you want to win championships, but I feel like it's a lot more with this organization. It's, you know, what are you doing in the community? Are you trying to uplift the community? Are you trying to uplift your teammates? So you just hope that, you know, the organization sees that value and everything that you're trying to provide, not only to the team, but also to the community.
He makes great points. So did Dalvin Cook. So did Najee Harris. I'm not sure it will resonate, at least not with the majority of NFL teams. But if you're going to pay someone, Jonathan Taylor, 24 years old, nearly 4,000 yards in 3 seasons, and that's including a season in which he dealt with a nagging ankle. It seems like a guy you would pay. Although, again, you see some of these running back deals come back to bite teams in the rear end. I don't know that the Cowboys would tell you now the money they paid Ezekiel Elliott was worth it, considering his declining production and his injuries. Now, is it all his fault? No, but that's kind of the deal. And then you think about the Le'Veon Bell situation, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers played hardball. He actually sat out an entire year. And yeah, he did get a deal with the Jets, but he never lived up to the potential or the promise that he made, all the talking that he did. He never lived up to the potential. He was never the same guy after he sat out a year. So you think about guys like Saquon Barkley. I know that the franchise tag doesn't offer job security, but it does pay you a hell of a lot of money in 1 year and gives you an opportunity then to negotiate with the team. And it's a tough call, right? Because if you hold out, generally the teams will wait you out. How many NFL holdouts actually work in favor of the player? Very few. Very few. So it will be interesting to see if anything breaks in this dam with the running back market. And even after all the chatter over Dalvin Cook going to Miami, that hasn't happened. Maybe they don't want to pay him either. Now, he's from Miami. He wants to go back to South Beach. And the Dolphins had talked with the Vikings about maybe making a trade, but they just couldn't come to terms. So these running backs have a point. The position is, I wouldn't say devalued. I would say not valued as high as wide receivers right now. And remember, it's a league in which the NFL and its rule changes have put extra emphasis on passing attacks. But last year, running yards were up. They were up. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too, we're asking you, what's your summer vacation destination? Some good stuff on both of our social media sites, and we'll get to those straight ahead. We are mandated now. QB News has a corporate partner, a sponsor. It's after out. Would you rather hear me or the pickle? Jay, every time I go to reach for the pickle, he gets this look on his face.
When I heard you, when you sang that, I instantly thought of the pickle.
You did?
Instantly.
What would you rather hear? Just be honest.
Probably you, actually. I'm telling you, I hear that pickle thanks, like 46 Jay. Times a day.
I appreciate it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and QB News is next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Prepare for a righteous reckoning in the new season of the HBO original series, The Righteous Gemstones. When the spoiled gemstone children finally get their wish to take control of the church, they discover leadership is harder than they imagined and that their extravagant lifestyle comes with a heavy price. Starring Danny McBride, John Goodman, Edie Patterson, and Adam Devine. Watch the all-new season of The Righteous Gemstones this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern on Max. Subscription required. Visit max.com for details.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Murray back to throw, and it is it tossed? Oh my goodness, it's caught! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it! Touchdown, LA!
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got it!
Yeah.
Touchdown! Joe Burrow and the Bengals!
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hand off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone, touchdown, Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. QB News, courtesy of Wesley Financial. We're going to run through as much of this as we possibly can because you might as well just skip ahead of training camp. Still 5 weeks to go, and yet it's nonstop NFL. Lamar Jackson getting his first chance to work out with Odell Beckham Jr. at Ravens minicamp.
I think he looked pretty smooth. Crisp routes, great hands. As everybody know, you know, he can catch the ball. looked pretty good out there. Odell is a legend to a lot of us, you know. What he did early in his career, and you know, the past year when he was with the Rams and stuff like that. You know, Odell is him, one of those guys. So it means a lot.
Lamar Jackson certainly sounds much more relaxed now that he's got his contract, and he's got Odell Beckham Jr. at 31, who is a legend. And what did he say? It's kind of odd to have all these young guys telling me they watched me in junior high. Staying in the AFC North, Kenny Pickett. He is also him in year number two for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm getting a lot more reps than I ever was, you know, last year. I feel a lot more comfortable being in the system the second time around, being with these guys for year two. So just, you know, we're heading in the right direction. You know, I feel that. So just got to keep showing up every day.
Obviously, this is Kenny's offense, and we're going to go as Kenny goes. And he's done a great job leading all of us, and I'm excited to see his role expand in the leadership.
The tight end, Pat Freiermuth, also endorsing Kenny Pickett in year number two. Now, remember, the Steelers finished above 500 last year. They rattled off four consecutive wins at the end of the season. Mike Tomlin's never led the Steelers to a losing campaign.
I don't fear sudden death.
And what he told us in the second half of the year with Pickett was really that it was about him learning on the job. And so, yeah, year number two, it's a luxury that he's already got so much experience from year number one, and he feels like his young QB is playing at a higher speed this year.
His maturation has got a lot to do with it. And so it's probably true, but probably from a perception standpoint, he's probably a little bit lower anxiety than he was a year ago. And so he's able to absorb the totality of what it is that we're doing and the things that come with being him, the leadership component. And I just think he's in position to receive things from a different perspective this year that may change his outlook on what it is that we're doing.
Because, you know, the leadership component is the leadership component. He's the best. I miss Mike Tomlin more than anything, more than anyone else during the NFL offseason.
The cut and paste component was the cut and paste component.
He didn't urinate down his leg. Really, that's all he asked of his young quarterback.
He didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin.
Please, can we get to football season? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. More from the AFC North. Joe Burrow, of course, will never stop answering questions about the Bengals' Super Bowl aspirations until they actually win one.
I wouldn't necessarily say motivation. I would say maybe urgency. You know, we've been there, done that. Now it's time to take that next step. I wouldn't say that's extra motivation because we're motivated every game, every day, every year. But I would say the sense of urgency has risen in that locker room.
All right. I could say the same thing about the Buffalo Bills. Why? Because the Chiefs are still the kings of not just the NFL, but certainly the AFC. Well, that begs the question, Joe, who is the best quarterback on the planet?
I don't think there's any argument right now. It's Pat. Tell somebody has a better year than he's had. He's the one to knock off.
Speaking of Pat, remember how he led the Chiefs to a Super Bowl win on a bum ankle? At times, he was on one and a half legs, maybe. Not only won the MVP again, but as another Super Bowl ring. So, yeah, I would agree with Joe. It's definitely Pat. Don't ask me why someone is questioning Joe Burrow about Taylor Swift, but, you know.
I have a lot of respect for what Taylor Swift has done with her career. I can't say that I'm listening to too much Taylor Swift on the speakers and the headphones. I know a lot of people that are, but that's just not me. Maybe I will stop. I've heard the tour is a lot of fun, though. Maybe I'll stop by.
In other words, I'm not Aaron Rodgers. We are never, ever, ever getting back together. Do you think Rodgers sang that at the top of his lungs about the Green Bay Packers?
Yes.
Yes, I can imagine that he
did. Don't have your number. You're not going to have my number.
By the way, the Taylor Swift answer for Joe Burrow went into, well, what is the music you like to listen to? And he essentially said everything but Taylor Swift and country, which is her background. All right, staying in the AFC, but now in the South. We just heard from Jonathan Taylor about running backs being devalued. What have you seen so far from your rookie QB, Anthony Richardson?
I've seen a lot of growth. Still very early, but you can see where he makes strides at. You can see where he struggles at, but you can see how he continuously works hard. You can't ask for anything more. I mean, you can't.
A lot of potential there with Anthony Richardson, but how quickly will the Colts throw him into the fire? That is the question. AFC East now. Mac Jones, been a lot of talk about whether or not he should be the starter in his third year, whether or not the Patriots will be looking elsewhere. He's got a new offensive coordinator in Bill O'Brien, and yes, still working with the OG Bill behind the scenes.
We have a great coaching staff, and been really blessed to work with some great coaches. I always talk about high school and college and here, so I always try to learn stuff from everybody and ask questions, and OB's done a great job with that. Coach Belichick's done a great job. So definitely just want to learn and be a sponge. That's all I can do, right? And just pick his brain about defense, because he's really good with the defensive side of the ball and learning that part of it, because, you know, that's really what he does really, really well.
I can imagine it would spark the Patriots offense if they could add a receiver like, say, DeAndre Hopkins. He visited the Texans, then he was courted by the Patriots. Don't have any definitive decision or offers that we know of, but hey, Mac, what about adding D-Hop?
Definitely a hypothetical, but I think DeAndre is a great player. I mean, you watch his film from, you know, college all the way through the NFL. He's done a great job, so obviously we'd love to have him, but we do have a great group of guys, and we just know that we want to win, and I know that all the guys feel the same way, but I've been really pleased with the playmakers that we have on our team. Like, we've come out here and really bought into the system, and that'll really show in training camp and preseason and stuff. It's sometimes hard to, you know, show that out here, but I've been really pleased with the tight ends, running backs, and all the receivers, the young guys, the old guys, like DP and everybody. So we have a good group, and definitely feel like we just need to keep growing together, and whoever's in that room, we're going to try and dominate together.
Well, he is definitely in midseason form when it comes to answering questions.
As long as there's food.
Anything better than Belichick? There's no need to hear Bill Belichick in the offseason. We don't have time for that.
I covered it.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. One more from the AFC East. And just as a side note, we'll let you hear from Sean McDermott about Stephon Diggs, who was at practice on Wednesday. But Mitch Morse, the Bills center, was on SiriusXM NFL Radio. And have you noticed a theme this offseason? When it comes to Josh Allen, every single time his name is brought up and his style of play is brought up, it's all about him making smarter decisions so he doesn't get hit as much.
He understands that, you know, he's not invincible out there, even with just kind of how much of an outstanding athlete he is and how durable he is. You're really just one play away from, you know, there's certain things you can't forecast, right? There's freak injuries and stuff. But if there is an opportunity to save a hit or save yourself for the next play, I think there's a time and place. That being said, he is who he is because of how he plays and his tenacity, and we don't want to take that away from the guy. So it is really finding that balancing act, and I think every year that he plays, you'll find it more and more.
Even Josh has admitted he needs to make smarter decisions as he gets older, and I've said this since Josh got into the league. If he's your top running back or he's your top rusher on any given day, that's not the best look for the Bills offense. That's not what they should be doing. Now, they've cycled through a bunch of running backs. Is this the year where they have a complement to Allen in the backfield? And no, it has nothing to do with the Madden curse. There's this one guy, every single time I mention the Bills, he posts on our Facebook page, "There's no such thing as the Madden curse." All right, leaving the AFC East and marching forward into the AFC West. Justin Herbert, he was dealing with a shoulder. Was it an impingement, or do I just love that word? He was dealing with a bulky shoulder last season, so how's it feeling now in offseason practice?
I feel like there wasn't too much of a change between the, you know, the non-team drills. I just started handing the ball off with the left arm, and I think that's the biggest difference from, you know, kind of getting back and into things. But it felt good, felt comfortable, throwing the ball as well. So just continuing to get used to it, you know, dealing with mechanics and everything that goes along with it. But shoulder feels good, and it's good to be back out there.
Justin also said he's not planning a holdout or a sit-in or a hunger strike or anything else like that when it comes to a contract extension, even though he is in line for one. He intends to be at training camp. Chargers were actually a team that ended mini camp on Wednesday. It was just 2 days, and now they take that six-week break until training camp actually begins. And the Chargers did just figure out the Austin Eckler situation, so maybe they can now fully turn their attention to Justin Herbert. As for Justin, brand new offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore, you can imagine he doesn't want to be missing any practices.
I think that we've done a great job so far of picking up the offense and doing exactly what Kellen's asked for us. But when it comes time to camp, you know, the role of the quarterback is to be out there for his team and to do everything he can to put that team in a position to win. And I understand that responsibility. So it's something that you'll address when the time comes. But I guess we'll see.
Is that all we got from the AFC? I feel like we spent the last 10 minutes in the AFC. We definitely have. All right, turning our attention to the quarterback competition in the NFC South. There's no more Tom Brady. He's not walking through that door. Baker Mayfield, though, he believes that they can pick up maybe not where 2022 left off, but where 21 left off, where the Bucs were a force to be reckoned with, right? So he thinks that they have the potential to be lethal with that Buccaneers offense.
We obviously have a lot of potential to be explosive, but it's just going to have to be about taking care of the ball. I think we're going to be able to get in different personnels and get into similar formations and run very different stuff out of those things. And so to me, it's about just staying ahead of the chains and taking care of the ball, and good things will happen. I think everybody here will, you know, will see the difference in the run game that we'll be able to do. And that truly is going to establish what this offense is about. And I'm excited about that. And I know the guys up front are as well.
Actually, I guess rethinking. Yeah, the Bucs won the Super Bowl after the 20 season. But remember, Tom Brady was runner-up to Aaron Rodgers for the MVP in 21. So they did have two really good offensive seasons. And then 22, everything went so horribly wrong. So Baker Mayfield intends to fix that, though he is currently competing, as in legit competing, with Kyle Trask.
Don't really care.
For QB1.
Just try to, you know, attack every single day. Like it's, you know, like it's your last, you know, just try to get the most out of every single day. So I'm not trying to think about the future, because, you know, I'm just trying to get the most out of every day. And I think as you stack those bricks day by day, then it'll pay off in the end.
Kyle Trask is a bricklayer, huh? Well, that doesn't fly in the NBA, but maybe it will fly with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their offense. Man, along with the NFC North, the NFC South is another wide open division, as in wide. Wide open. Okay, we're marching through QB News here on After Hours. NFC North, I just mentioned, being a wide open division. Well, Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, they won it going away last year, but they had Dalvin Cook. So, Kirk, what about your now dearly departed running back?
I'm excited to see where he goes. I'll always be pulling for him. And I kind of optimistically hoping maybe we get him back. Who knows? But maybe there's an outside chance. So, we'll see.
So you're saying there's a chance. I'm sure that's news to the Vikings front office. Well, okay, so we don't have a Dalvin Cook contract, but what about your contract extension with the Vikings, Kirk?
I think we'll probably talk about the contract next March, and until then, just focus on this season and the job to do right now.
So nothing of late, though, as far as talks in the last couple of months or something?
No, just going to work.
So, in other words, I got nothing for you, which is really what Justin Herbert said, too. I got nothing for you. There's no news. There's no update. And Burrow, even if he and his agents are actually negotiating with the Bengals, he's not giving us anything either. It was only Lamar, and Kyler Murray, who decided to splash it all over social media as they were looking for new deals. So Kirk Cousins, he's the same. I guess there's some comfort in that. Hey, have you noticed in Washington that they are determined we shall all accept Sam Howell as QB1. The latest, Johan Dotson says the Commanders finally have their franchise quarterback.
I think we got our quarterback situation settled. I think Sam Howell is going to be our guy. You know, I have complete faith in him. He's a guy who I always say this. You know, he makes throws look super effortless on the field. He's been a great leader. He's learning how to lead an NFL offense. He's just learning the ropes just as we are, you know, being in a new offense. So I'm super excited for him. You know, I can't wait to get out there and just make plays for him and make his life and his job easier as possible.
So Jahan Dotson, he says yeah, pay attention to Sam Howell, right? Pay attention because he is our franchise QB. I mean, I kind of think that the Commanders have got to find somebody soon. Just process of elimination. They've gone through every other quarterback in the NFL. So here we go. On the Jim Rome Show, CBS Sports Radio, represent. All right, last thing, and this is actually kind of funny. Daniel Jones did get his contract, remember, earlier, going back to the beginning of the offseason. Two of his teammates, Sterling Shepard, Dexter Lawrence, commenting on whether or not money has changed Daniel Jones.
You got that money swag. You know, when somebody hit the lotto, they a little different. So, I mean, it's the same thing.
So does Daniel have money swag?
Nah, he's going to stay the same. Like I just told you, he's going to stay the same. Some people got that money swag.
I don't even think he has swag to even to begin, but... You know, I see him. He just talks to y'all normal, and he's just Daniel. I don't know.
All right. Well, there's another way that Daniel Jones is a lot like Eli Manning.
He stumbles down at the 15. He could not get there.
Remember, that was when the green monster reached up and tripped him. Wide open space, nothing but green grass until Daniel Jones fell flat on his face. And the call there on Westwood One, and that's Ross Tucker, our friend Ross Tucker, giggling like a child in the background. Oh, that was funny. Anyway, Daniel Jones, Eli Manning, no swag whatsoever. No money swag, zero swag, according to Sterling and Dexter. But the cool thing is we now know that Eli has so much personality that he's outshining his brother, who just won an Emmy for the Monday Night Mannings. Do you think Eli should feel slighted? I do. I kind of do. All right, straight ahead. The latest from Bill.
He doesn't like you. He likes me, Kyle, because he beat me more. He hates Eli.
Coming up next, there is a truce in Bill's camp where Stephon Diggs was, in fact, practicing on Wednesday. Is all right with the Bills Mafia? We'll explain.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Well, whether it be upcoming life changes or ongoing events that may be causing you unhappiness, California Psychics is here to help you along the way and provide the joy of certainty through the insights of their psychic advisors. Since 1995, California Psychics has been the place where millions of satisfied customers have connected with some of the most experienced psychics worldwide, advisors who possess outstanding psychic abilities. Whether you want to unlock a mystery, clear a path, or just boost your inner power, their psychics are here to help you in matters of love, relationships, money, career, and all the things that matter to you. Talk for just $1 a minute. Your reading will be accurate and confidential with one of our vetted psychics. Find the answers today. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com to learn more. If it's not the best reading you've ever had, it's free. That's CaliforniaPsychics.com to connect with a California psychic advisor today. We've all got a lot going on in our lives. Maybe you just want a little extra insight. One place to get it, CaliforniaPsychics.com. Connect with that California psychic advisor today. One more time, CaliforniaPsychics.com.
Hey, can you hear me?
Okay, good. Well, so can your potential customers. Right here on your Odyssey station. You might be used to skipping social ads, but you are still listening to me right now. And so are your clients. To learn how to drive more business and how Odyssey can help get your message to your customers, visit stateofaudio.com. That's stateofaudio.com.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
I think that there are some things that could have gone better last year and didn't. And just, you know, I think we're just, as an organization, maybe not communicating the right way with everything. So, again, just trying to talk and listen at the same time and hear him out. And like I said, just try to move this forward as quickly and as respectfully as, you know, as possible.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Josh Allen on Tuesday, after Stephon Diggs was at the facility for minicamp and then departed without practicing, there were some mixed signals that we got from Sean McDermott as well as from Josh Allen. Now, Josh seemed a little concerned about it, not worried about Stephon necessarily, but admitting that this was an internal issue, that it wasn't about physical health, that it was maybe about communication and doing a better job of getting on the same page. He was cryptic. And he was vague. He didn't give us a lot of details, but there were people who were all fired up about this and wondering if this was going to turn into a problem. Remember, because Stephon's production dropped off toward the end of last year, really in the second half, and there were rumors and speculation about the relationship between him and Josh and whether or not it was suffering. And so then to have him be at the facility on Tuesday only to abruptly leave before practice, and then to hear Sean McDermott say that he was concerned about Stephon Diggs on Tuesday before he kind of backtracked and changed it. Well, you can imagine there was a lot more questioning on Wednesday.
This is not your first press conference with me. Whenever a player has something going on or misses, but he's not here for some reason, I am concerned. That's my sentiment with any player. In particular, a player as important to us as Steph. So when I say very concerned, I'm very concerned because it's a situation with one of our players, and it was something that we needed to work through.
Apparently, they did work through it because it was no longer a problem on Wednesday.
There's a lot of things out there that aren't accurate. Let me be clear. Steph did everything that he was asked to do. He was here Monday and reported for meetings, at which time we had a good conversation. Great communication, and we got to a point yesterday where we just felt like we all needed a break and some space. And so I gave Steph permission to get some space and head out, and then picked up those conversations after practice. Those conversations got us to what I think and believe is a great spot. I appreciate Steph being willing to communicate. I thought he did a great job. Steph's a valuable member of this football team. He works extremely, extremely hard as any player I've been around, to be elite in this league, and that's what he is, and I love him.
Okay, we've heard both Josh Allen and Sean McDermott say multiple times, I love him. In the case of Josh Allen, he dropped the F-bomb beforehand and said, excuse me, but I effing love him. And so I guess we're supposed to believe that there is nothing wrong. I'm not going to stir the pot by saying, Me thinks they doth protesteth too much. So I'm not going to do it. I'm going to believe it. Plus, I told you this yesterday. It's June. Let's not get all fired up. It's June, for heaven's sakes. Summer is on the horizon. These teams theoretically are supposed to go dark for the next 6 weeks. Yeah, right. What are the chances that they actually do take a break for the next 6 weeks and we don't talk any football? Probably not very high. So instead, we go ahead and we throw it out there because we know you all are football addicts like we are. But since summer is a couple days away, first of all, the boys of summer deserve a little more time in the spotlight. So does this yodeling pickle. I mean, I don't know if he can hold a candle to the boys of summer, but he can sing better. I might have this stuck in my head for the rest of my life. We need to go back to I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas because this is becoming disturbing in my brain. If I hate someone, I would make them listen to the yodeling pickle.
Does that mean my mother hates me? Because I hear this all throughout the house.
She's trying to get you out of the house, actually.
Yeah. Her and me both.
Can I take this on vacation with me?
take it on the plane, just continuously play it.
No, I'm not going on the plane. I'm just going hiking in Virginia. I wonder if it can serve as an animal repellent. Bears, they're not going to want to hear the yodeling pickle.
I feel like they attack you just to stop it.
Just to make it stop. It's like a dog with a squeaky toy that chews out the squeaker.
Yeah.
My mom's dogs do that. Okay, so we're asking you, with a couple days to go until the official start to summer, with hoops and hockey now in the rearview mirror, it's the boys of summer, right? They take center stage for six weeks anyway. Where is your summer vacation destination? I'm going to run through a few of these on Twitter. After Hours CBS, Edgar says Croatia in August. That sounds amazing. Another tweet from Woo Sox Nation. Don't have a name there. More baseball. A trip to California to catch a couple Padres and Dodgers games, then off to Mexico. Andrew says a Disney cruise starting tomorrow for my 38th birthday. Awesome. Happy birthday to you. Here's a Braves fan. I'm headed to Dallas, Texas for the first time in my life. I'm going to a Rangers baseball game. And you pick the summer to go to a Rangers baseball game. I remember a few times that I went to Rangers games in the daytime. Well, they don't actually play a lot the daytime in the summer just because of the heat. But I went and the stadium was half empty. Now, this is the old one going back to the ballpark at Arlington. But yeah, people avoid Rangers games in the summer in the daytime.
That's why they built the new one.
Cosmo is going to vacation in his recliner. Let's see. Rodantha, North Carolina for Craig, all 27 of us. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.